You know, we have a lot of different gifts and people that are blessings within this body. Amen. And one of the things we like to do is we're going through, if you're new around here, we're going through the Gospel of John together as a church, like I said earlier, so that we can help you learn to hear the voice of the Lord through Scripture. Jesus said in John 5 that the purpose of the Bible was to bring you into relationship with Him. He is eternal life, knowing God and knowing Him. And Scripture is a wonderful, wonderful tool to make that happen. So whether it's Don or Ron or myself, we've got another great gift in this body. She's an absolute equipper and has a heart for the body of Christ in such a great way. Will you put your hands together and let's welcome Gretchen Cannon as she comes share this morning.
How is everybody? I'm going to put my glasses on so I can see you guys. I mean, I can see you, but not great. Now, Danny, you look a lot better, just so you know. It's good to see you guys. By the way, those of you that are visiting, building in His presence is something that people, you don't have to attend here to be a part of. So if you're interested in getting into the Word on a consistent basis with a group of people, building in His presence would be a great opportunity. We have people all over the United States. I know Jerry Short has some family and different ones that are involved in it. And then we have a whole group of people in the Philippines even. So if that's something that you want to do, get on and join us. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to continue in John. And so, Father, we thank You for Your presence. And we give You our presence, just as we did in worship. We give You our presence in this moment because, quote, worship hasn't stopped. Our adoration and our true admiring of who You are and exalting of You hasn't stopped. Just because we shifted, even in our greeting time, it didn't stop. So we give You our presence. And Father, whatever You want to be shared today, I just ask, Lord, that those be the words in my mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, we're going to start in verse 25, but honestly, this started in verse 1. So if you've been here, you've gotten the gradual context of where we're at in 25 when the woman is talking to Jesus. But if you haven't, and Steve shared at the very opening verses 23 and 24, but it is a conversation that Jesus is having with a Samaritan woman. And there's all kinds of things, like you could make this entire message about women and somebody joked, hey, you are a woman, you should take advantage of this. You know, but it truly isn't. It's about encountering Jesus, whether you're male or female, right? Or whether you think you're male and you're not, or you think you're female and you're not. Like, it doesn't matter. It is about encountering the Messiah and only the Messiah. And we'll talk a little bit about the women thing, but this is a Samaritan woman. And Jews actually avoided this place, right? But Jesus is in this conversation with this woman, and He's telling her all of her stuff that she's done. In Christian terms, we like to call it, they read my mail, right? And so Jesus has read her mail, and in verse 19, she even says back to Him, I perceive you're a prophet, right? And He actually doesn't answer. Did anybody notice that? He didn't say, oh, yes, I am, right? Because His goal isn't that she would see Him as a prophet, but that she would see Him as who He truly is, who is a Messiah, although the Messiah is also one that operates as a prophet, right? So that's where we land this story coming into verse 25. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 23. And we're going to read a little further than what I'm going to teach on today. But verse 23 says, John 4, but the hour is coming, and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. And that word must isn't like, or you're going to get in trouble. That's like, you're really not worshiping. You're not worshiping in spirit and truth, right? It's really not worship. It's whatever else you want to call it. Singing along with a song or talking about the things that you feel like you need to talk about. But where we're going to get into today is starting in verse 25. The woman said to Jesus, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ, which just means anointed one. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Verse 26, Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he had talked with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek and why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat, of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. I'm going to read a little further. Steve will get into this next week. But verse 39 says, so if you have your Bible, you can follow along. Otherwise, you're going to have to listen. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed with them there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Verse 42, then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said for ourselves. We have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And then, that's just so powerful, right? How many of you heard from the Lord this morning? How many of you know he spoke something to your heart? Like you heard from the Anointed One. You heard from the Messiah. Yeah, you heard some from Stephen. You heard some from Michelle, Teresa, Steve, me, Christy Gomez through Steve. But you actually heard from him when he spoke to your heart. When it's that thing inside of you that wakes you up, right? All right, let's go back to verse 25 here. Jesus is setting her up to meet him, not to meet the true Messiah, not just somebody that she's familiar with as in a prophet. So because she was a Samaritan, the Samaritans embraced what is talked about in Deuteronomy 18, where it talks about that a prophet will be raised up. The Samaritans held true to that truth. And so therefore, when this is happening, she's like, oh, you might be that prophet that we've held to in Scripture for so long, right? But Jesus actually doesn't say that. Even in verse 19, when she said, I perceive you're a prophet, he just goes on. Because although he wants her to encounter him as the Messiah. I am the one. I am he. I am Christ. I am the one that's speaking to you. He wants her to encounter himself as a person. And she is one of the most likely people that he should choose to encounter. He's a Jew. She's a Samaritan. He's a male, she's a female. She has a reputation. Like, that's some of what was talked about. Steve covered several weeks ago. She had multiple husbands. And even the one that she was calling her husband wasn't her husband. And so this is the most unlikely candidate for Jesus to reveal himself to as the very first person on earth for Jesus to look at and say, I am the Messiah. It was this woman. Verse 27, then the disciples come and they see this interaction and they're wondering, but they're not asking. John is one of them right there. Like the author of this book is the one that walked up on this conversation. And he's the one that wrote this. He's the one that wrote, no one even said, what do you seek and why are you talking to her? But he was thinking it because he wrote it. And he was there wondering, what the heck is going on, right? And but nobody said. And then after that, verse 28 is one of the most powerful verses in this passage I'm going to cover today. It said, then the woman left her water pot. She left her water pot. So today we sang a song, lay it all down. Lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. That's what she did. When you look at that word left in the Greek, it means to be released. It means to go away, leaving something behind. She had an encounter with Jesus, and yes, she goes to the city, and we're going to get into that. But the first thing she does is she left her water pot. It wasn't, she forgot her water pot. She chose it. She made a decision to leave behind something, to release it before she went about her way. And, you know, like, I love the show The Chosen. Of course, it's not like reading the Bible. One of my sons, I won't name who it is, but he's like, I'm like, hey, you want to watch The Chosen with me? He's like, no, I'd rather read the manuscript. I'm like, well, that's fine, but can we do both, right? But when you look at that, it's the last, if you haven't watched it, I am doing a plug here for it because I think it's great. And I've got a son that's released YouTube and binging YouTube, and he has picked up binging The Chosen, and I am quite fine with it. But in that, it's the very last episode in the first season. And you watch this interaction, and all it does is it gives us a great visual for what it's like to be in this moment. It paints a picture for us. And the disciples are even saying to this woman in The Chosen, hey, hey, your water's right here. Hey, come get your water. And she is like, this man has done this for me. This man, I know this man. Like, she just keeps saying that over and over. And he's trying to get them, or they're trying to get her to realize that she's left something behind, like she forgot it, to where truly she chose to leave the water pot behind. Now let's go back to what Steve talked about a couple of weeks ago. She had multiple husbands. She came to the well in the middle of the day by herself in the heat. Why? Because the other women did not want her to be with them. Maybe she didn't want to be with them because of the shame in her heart. But that water pot represented everything that she needed to leave behind. It represented her guilt. It represented her hurt, like people's hurt that was put upon her. It represented her own shame of making the same decision over and over and over with different men. It represented her unbelief that she could ever come and get the drink of water that Jesus talked about, that he'll give her. It represented all the doubt. So many things right there. That water pot represented when she left behind. And so Steve had a word. I'm guessing, Steve, you got this today during worship this morning or something. 3 weeks ago. Okay. Well, he gave it today. So it says at the end of the word that he said, it says, so I say, heal today. Take your first steps. Right there, the woman, her first step was to leave it. She had to leave her reputation right there. And she had to pick up his for her, that she could have a drink. talks about in this word about, did you think every relationship would be easy without pain? She had many relationships that were filled with pain. And she had to leave that and ignore all of that to be able to go and do her next step. The first step was to leave the water pot. The next step is at the end of verse 28 when it said, she left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men. Now, I want to, I don't want to stay on this long, but when you, and I'm barely learning to understand how to understand Greek, and I don't mean like actually understand it, but as an English speaker, understand it. Greek was written in a, with a masculine, it's a really long A word, I'm not even going to say it. But when you see the word men, it doesn't mean there's a man and there's a man and there's a man and there's a man. Oh, we skip her. There's a man. It's men. Like their language was masculine. That's how they spoke. That's how they talked. So it said, though, that she went and told the men. But Jesus told her in verse 16 to go tell her husband, which was one. But she encountered him in such a real way, she didn't need to just tell the one that she was in relationship now. She needed to tell all of the males, all of the women, all of the children. That word like mankind, right? But Jesus tried to get her earlier in scripture just to go tell the one husband. Just to go tell the one man. And that because she chose to drop the water pot, she was able to go tell the whole city, all these people, male, female, children, about the one that told her everything that she had done wrong. She's declaring all of the things that she's done that she was once ashamed of. But because she left her shame, she left her pot, she was able to go declare to the city, like, hey, I did all these things. Like, I'm owning it. Why? Because I'm set free. Like, I have hope where I didn't have hope before. I have hope. That word started out that Steve read, my name is peace. Bring you wholeness. That's what that word, peace, Irene in the Greek means, is the wholeness, the complete wholeness. So then in verse 29, it says, come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And then in verse 30, it says, then they went out of the city and they came to him. They didn't come to see him. They didn't come to hear him. They came to him with their whole being. Sometimes we come to hear about him. Sometimes we come to see the things that he does. I listened to a worship podcast this week that I loved, and it talked about how it was an interview with Stephanie Gretzinger, but she was like, no more am I living for those moments that we love. But what the Lord was showing her is it was becoming something that she was living for and longing for instead of those moments being a byproduct of her union with Jesus. That's what that's all about. When you've got an entire city that came to Jesus, it doesn't say here that they came to hear what Jesus was going to say about this woman that had this bad reputation. They actually came to him as the person. So this is a beautiful picture of our definition of a disciple here at Grace Church. Abide, ways, and works. Because in verse 25 and 26, when Jesus said, I who speak to you am he, she connected with him. She connected with the true person of who Jesus was. And when she connected with him, then she decided, I am going to release all of these things. It was her pot, water pot. She released her water pot. What did she then do? She picked up hope. She picked up joy. She picked up excitement in the area of peace. Like, I'm not all these things that I've been labeled and that I've labeled myself. So the ways, the character and the nature immediately of Jesus out of that connection with him started to flood her life as she put down the character of being an adulterer, of being a fornicator, of being who knows what else, of being a shame-filled person. She put down those ways, that character and that nature. And she picked up character and nature of Jesus, of peace, of wholeness, of hope, of joy. She was overcome with who he was and how she was able to connect with him. And then in verse 29, she goes into the city to come and says, come and see a man that has told me everything. Waylon, can you put slide 7 up for me? This right here is a snapshot of abide, ways, and works. When you connect to Jesus, you will be changed. If you're not born again and you become born again, you will change. Ask Jake Minnick. Where's Jake? Right there. Jake's proud too. Jake got born again a few months ago, and this thing called conviction started happening inside of him. It wasn't rules of mom and dad or the way I should be, right? But because of that, he's changed. And I sat around in my living room this week with some young people talking about how each one of them have changed because they're connecting with the Lord, right? And because of that, then works of Jesus will happen. But I guarantee you, that lady could have connected with Jesus at that well, and he would looked at her and said, I am the Christ. And she could have connected with him, and she could have kept that water pot. She could have kept that same identity. She could have kept those same characters, values. She could have kept that same nature that she came to the well with. And I guarantee you the works of an entire city coming to Jesus would not happen. She had to make the choice to submit her nature and her character to the one she just connected with. And out of that, as a byproduct, she could not help but tell people. So one of my challenges to you guys today is like, what's the water pot you need to leave behind? What is your own water pot that you need to leave behind? Whether it's an exterior habit, whether it's an inside belief or desire. But we all have water pots we're carrying around. We have that yoke with that water pots that are heavy and weighty for us. And so there are water pots that we need to leave behind. And let me challenge you in this. If you sit with the Lord and you're not seeing the works of Jesus in your life, if you're not seeing, like, conversations with people that you don't know, if you're not praying for the sick, if you're not helping somebody get deliverance, if you're not teaching somebody how to sit in the Word, if you're not serving somebody, there's many other things. I can't name everything that Jesus did in the Bible as far as of works right now. But, like, if you're not doing the works, I want to challenge you. And you are sitting with him, I want to challenge you. Maybe you have some pots that you haven't left behind that is hindering that flow. Do you see those arrows? Those arrows are a flow. One from another from another. You don't skip it. If you skip it, it's self-effort. If you skip it, it's self-righteousness. This Samaritan woman had known there was a promise of a prophet that would be raised up and that a Messiah would be coming. And she chose to not only connect with the Messiah, but she chose to change her character and nature in that moment even, and go change a city for it. I'm going to go on just a little bit further in verse 31 through 38 here, and I just kind of want to sum it up. Steve will probably capitalize on it a little bit more next week, but verse 32 is one of my pillar verses. It's in my calendar. Every June 16th, it comes up as my non-physical healing. Anybody had a healing that's non-physical? Of your heart, of your mind, of your soul? Yeah. June 16th, 2015, I'm listening to a staff meeting because my boys were sick the day before. And I had taken them up the road to the VOTEC to their child care on Wednesday. And I was coming back down listening to this recording before I get to work. And one of my coworkers is talking about his sister who had been adopted out. And the first time he got to meet her, he was an adult. And he said, it was so strange to meet a sister that you've never met as an adult. It was so new, but yet familiar. Just like the things of the Holy Spirit. I will tell you in that moment, I do not know what happened, but it came upon me, within me, over me, out of me, and all in my car in that moment. And I was completely overcome, immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit, and completely intoxicated. I was 1 mile from this building trying to make it here, trying to talk myself into being able to stay between the lines. And I thought, this does not sound like a God thing. So I'm having this debate in my mind. I walked in. My office at that time was down this hallway instead of where it is now. And I walked by. And as I walked by, Steve said, hey, come see me when you put your stuff down. I was like, all right. Because I sat in the car out in the parking lot going, okay, I can get in. I can go in. You can do this. Just put on a straight face. You're fine. You look normal. So put my stuff down in my office. I came back and I said, yeah. And I sat down and he just looked at me and he goes, are you drunk? I hadn't said a word. And I said, I think I am. The entire day was like a love fest. I laid on couches, sat in chairs, sat in floors, sat in doorway, proclaiming my love. Where's Jody? She was making copies at the coffee machine one day, or at some point in that day, and I was sitting in the floor going, do you know how much I love you? Like, and I was just like, and she was just like laughing and reciprocating, right? The entire day went through. Went home. Felt a little more sober by the time quitting time was happening. Not quite. Went home, made my family dinner. They ate dinner, cleaned it up, went to bed. The next morning I woke up. I had none of those feelings anymore. But like the presence of the Lord was still so strong within me. And the Lord spoke to me, Gretchen. In fact, in my Bible, I almost read it earlier because I have them marked out and I have my name. But he said to Gretchen, I have food to eat, of which you do not know. He said, yesterday you ate of me. You didn't even know that was possible. You born Baptist before you were born again, didn't even know it was possible for something like that to happen alone in your car driving down the road. I actually realized in that moment, he started replaying. I had not eaten from 7 p.m. on Tuesday to sometime Thursday. Not even a snack. I was not hungry. He said, this is a true fast. Yes, you can discipline yourself and should to fast and withhold. But like when you truly fast, you are feeding on me to the point to where you don't even know you haven't eaten. And so when the disciples come and they see this encounter with the woman of the well, they had went to go get him food. Right? Because he was weary. He went to the well weary. He was weary. He was hungry. And they're like, here, eat, eat. And he's like, no, I have food that you don't know. And then verse 33, it goes on, and the disciples are trying to figure out who fed him, who actually gave him food, like physical food. I remember my friends at work that day kept saying, do you want me to grab you some lunch? Do you want me this? My family was like, aren't you hungry? I didn't even pay attention. I wasn't eating. I just wasn't hungry. But what the Lord showed me is that day I left several water pots. I left water pots of what it looked like to actually be completely sustained by him. We look at verse 34 where it talks about that Jesus' food is to do the will of the Father and to accomplish his word. That food means it brings delight and truly satisfies the mind. My mind was not saying at any point that day, you are hungry. You need to go eat. You need to do this. You need to do that. In fact, I don't even know that I got any work done that day. Probably not. I think they all like enjoyed laughing at me. They may not have gotten any work done either all day. but truly here, if you look at, Waylon, will you put up slide 8? If you look at this, the word will in here in this verse 34 is a desire. It's God's preferred will. It's his best offer to people, which can be accepted or rejected. Jesus, here, in this moment with the Samaritan woman and with his disciples, he was human. Now, he had the Holy Spirit without measure, and he was able to draw on him at any moment. But he had to choose that. We can either accept the will or we cannot. And then Jesus goes on throughout this conversation with the disciples, and he talks about the harvest and lifting up your eyes to the fields. So I'm a wheat farmer's daughter. Both of my dads have raised wheat for years. So like you get really good at knowing the difference between wheat and cheat, which cheat is wheat that looks like. I was talking to somebody about this. Maybe it was Gary Whitlock the other day. Wheat and cheat. Cheat looks like wheat, but it does not have anything to be able to reproduce. It does not have seed. So if you go by the calendar like the disciples, in 4 months we can harvest. He's like, oh no, look at this wheat. The seed is ready to be brought in. All you have to do is lift up your eyes and see. And then he goes on to talking about laboring. Like, you guys are getting to bring in the harvest, but you didn't do the planting or the watering or the sowing, but you get to reap it. And when you look at some of those words that are kind of cool, I encourage you to set in them a little bit. The difference between harvest, laboring, reaping, labored. The word harvest there is a noun. It's the fruit of the Lord. So when I was a kid and we had wheat harvest, we would say harvest is going to start around 9. It's going to be dry enough. So those of you that are city people or didn't do wheat, you may not know, you can't cut wheat if there's any moisture on it. It has to be super dry. For one, if you put it in a grain bin and it has any moisture on it, the grain bin will explode, and it will burst into a massive fire. And so it has to be dry, so you watch the weather. Like, you have to be in your chair at 10:15 when Gary England comes on to see what time harvest starts tomorrow. So then it would be, okay, be at the field at this time. We're going to start harvesting around 9. And then when we get to the elevator, my grandparents owned the grain elevator. We get to the elevator, and my dad would walk in and say, hey, what was my harvest yield? Now, we harvested all day, which was a verb. But the yield of the harvest was the noun. The verb is what we got to participate with the Lord in our abide ways and works. But the harvest itself, the actual yield, is the fruit of the Lord. So that lady, she harvested that day. Those disciples got to see it in action, and then Jesus tells them about it by talking about the harvest and the reaping. That lady actually got to go reap. She got to go harvest because she brought all those people to come see him. But it was actually the fruit of the Lord in the yield of the harvest with every soul that came to Jesus and then asked him to stay several days. But if you notice, she probably wouldn't have been able to reap. Maybe one or two. She hadn't left her pot. For one, it would have taken her a whole lot longer to get back to the city if she was carrying the pots full of water. Taken her longer, she would have been more exhausted. She could not have ran. All of those things. So my question to you is, like, there's a harvest before you. Whether you're in relationship with them or not yet. One of the conversations around the table or in the kitchen yesterday morning was, why do we even do the things we do? Why do we go to football games? Why do we do marching band? Why do we do this? Why do we do theater? Why do we do that? And I said, this is why I did it Friday. Because not only did I get to help a lady with some tasks, but I got to pray for her back to be healed, and she was healed. And then the next morning, I got to text her and say, hey, how's your back? And she's like, it's doing amazing. And then I got a text last night from a parent that said, hey, by the way, how's so-and-so's back? So there were people that knew, even though it was a private conversation between her and I. We're in an entire walkway full of people coming to buy products like t-shirts and water bottles and caps and all that because we were a vendor. But yet we're inside the booth laying hands on this young lady or on this woman to have her back healed. This is why we go to football games. This is why we go to marching band contests. And so if you'll leave the water pot of like, this is totally awkward, you're able to participate with the Lord to bring in the yield of his harvest by reaping where you have not sown. I could tell her back was hurting. She's bending over. She is this. Like half the time she'd just stand like that. And finally I just said to her, is your back hurting? She said, yes, I'm just dehydrated. It's like, oh, well, the Lord can fix that. He can fix your back and he can fix your hydration. So would you like for me to pray for you? Now, the language used by this lady minutes before and throughout the whole evening was not one that was inviting for me to say, shall I lay hands on you and pray for you? It is not like it was Sherry or Shanna or Alyssa, and I'm like, yeah, let me pray for him. But the Lord was like, hey, look at this wheat head here. She's ready for harvest. Are you going to participate with me or not? So sometimes you have to, well, all the time, but you have to ask him, what are my water pots that I have that I need to leave behind to participate with you to bring in the harvest? So stand with me. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled. Why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went on her way into the city and said to the men, come and see a man who changed my life. Then they went out of the city and came to him. They came to him. So let's take a moment. Close your eyes and just ask. Ask yourself first. Has the Lord already revealed to me a water pot that I need to leave behind, that I need to release? A water pot that needs to be left right where it's at, whether it feels awkward or not, so I can go away. And then ask the Lord, Father, show me any water pot that I have that is hindering me from seeing your harvest. That is hindering me for staying connected. That is hindering me from choosing your will as my only will. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, you don't know this Jesus, you're like that Samaritan woman, like you've heard of him, but you haven't actually seen him. You haven't met him. You haven't laid eyes on him in person. We want to introduce you to who that is. No, he's not the physical person standing here right now. But he is spirit. And he is real. And he is here to meet you. So if that's you, you raise your hand. You're going to have to do it high because I'm short. Anybody? Okay. Well, the rest of you, I want you to take your hands and put the thing in it that he showed you. That's a water pot. Now, if he didn't show you anything and you didn't see anything, don't do it. We worship in spirit and truth. We don't worship just because it's something we're supposed to do. And leaving stuff behind and going with him is a true form of worship. So if he showed you something that you need to leave behind, take it in your hands right now and drop it on the ground. Just release your hands. Just let it fall. Just let it go. All you're doing right there is you're laying it down at the feet of Jesus. Father, I just command a blessing over those that are choosing to get rid of the weight of the water pots, and they're leaving them behind. Father, I pray a blessing over them. I know that you'll be faithful to guide them and protect them. Just remind them who they are in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, church. Amen. Someone want to share an observation? Anyone? I think my first one was, Marcus, come on. My first one was, I love that they came to him in verse 30. I've not seen that. They came to him, and we'll probably get into that as you read the rest of the story. They didn't come to hear about him. They didn't, you know, came to hear about even the woman. They came straight to him. Thank you. Okay. What about you, Marcus? What'd you see?
Test. I was going to say it was the whole thing with the water pot and her leaving it was... like thinking about all the things that it takes or that you're going to do if she would have brought the water pot back to the city with her. So she would have had, like, anytime I have something, I have on my mind a task to do something. If I'm bringing something with me, it's not that I'm going to just Yeah, exactly. I'm not talking to other people. I'm not going to be saying, like, hey, look at this experience that just happened. It's going to be,
right.
I got these heavy water pots with me. I need to get back, get done, and then
right.
go do what I need to do next or have the time to do whatever else I can,
yeah.
I can do. So that was an observation I made. Her leaving that opened up the time, the opportunity, like she was talking about, to be able to go throughout the city and do
things. Go straight and be about his task, right? Yeah, Phil. Amen. I also loved, you talked about Jake, and I don't know if you guys caught it, but wow. It wasn't, Jake's different if you hang out with him last few months, but it wasn't his parents' rules pressing on him outwardly. It's now Christ in his heart pressing on him inwardly that brings about the change that we see. Wow, guys, okay. Just a couple more and we'll wrap it up. Go
There's
ahead.
A really big water pot right over there.
Mm-hmm.
If you know me, a lot of you know me, I'm very busy. I never stop. Even when I'm sleeping, I'm probably thinking about what I'm going to do. But I want to be effective, not busy.
Amen, brother. Yeah. Amen.
I think it's in 2 Corinthians. He said unto me, my grace is
sufficient.
So that's what I'm leaning on. It's like, he's going to help me be efficient.
That's right.
I don't need to worry about being busy.
Yeah, that's super good. Yeah. Busy is absent, void of relationship a lot of times. Efficient is straight from the heart of the Lord. Ben, what do you got?
Her past had no effect on her ability to bring in the harvest.
Good,
everything
Ben.
About her past
good
in our mind tells us we can't do these things. It had nothing to do with her past.
Come on.
Had everything to do with him.
Yeah, super good, great observation. So come on, this is why we do this, because Ben heard the voice of the Lord. The Lord showed that to him, and that's what we mean. This is up here on the screen. If you want to help, if you want to grow in Christ with us, you want to help people grow in Christ, that's how you can get in touch with us. What do you got?
Me and my wife have broke many water pots.
Okay.
Today is our 46th wedding anniversary.
Oh, well, congratulations.
The Lord has blessed us and nurtured us, kept us together. Mm-hmm. Through all the roughness and the beauty of it all.
Yeah.
I just want to say that I love her. And I hope we go forever.
Many, many more years, right?
And I'd like for you to pray over us.
Yeah. Well, and thank you for sharing that with us. Did you hear the first thing he said? We've had to leave many water pots. And how many years did you say?
46.
Stretch your hands towards them. Father, we thank you for 46 precious years. And I like what Jim said, that, Lord, there's been rough times, but, Lord, we have a promise that you cause all things to work together for the good of those that love you and called according to your purpose. And that, Lord, you don't waste anything. It's all redemptive in your hands if we'll let it be. And we just ask, Lord, a continual blessing on their marriage. Lord, all the marriages represented here in this room this morning and those online. Lord, we just ask for a commanded blessing on their union and their journey together. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody give the Lord a hand. Bless you. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. I just wanted to say from the message today, I was thinking of the woman and just thinking how, how it changed her life that day. But just thinking she was a brand new woman, I think, coming to the well the next morning with the other women and just and just walking in her freedom and like
super good
belonging.
That's so good.
In the town now and just the liberty that she felt that day.
That is super good. Come on, man. So he traded, you know, those of you that have encountered the living Jesus, he trades your shame and condemnation for surety and confidence. Shame and condemnation leave. Surety and confidence come in their stead. So if that's you this morning, I'm going to pray against that spirit of shame right now. If that is you, I want you to open your heart, open your hands, whatever your posture of receptivity is, because I sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you this morning that under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the authority of Christ Himself, that we break off every spirit of shame off of these people in the precious name of Jesus. Every assignment of condemnation and guilt, just like Ben was testifying, what she was able to share going forward, had her past had no bearing on what the Lord had in front of her. I'm reminded of Philippians 3. We forget those things that are behind. We press on to the high calling of God that we have in Christ Jesus. We're going to lay hold of that now for which Christ has laid hold of us. And I thank you, Lord, that your spirit and your word and your blood, your love for us is greater than any spirit of shame or assignment of condemnation and guilt. We declare and decree you are broken off of us right now in the name of Christ, and we will move forward in surety and confidence from this day on. Come on, in Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
I want to add on to that. Sometimes we won't admit we have shame because it's like it's got to be big. I have to have been abused or done the abusing or something. But shame is just self-hatred at your expense. Mm-hmm. So like, I hate these wrinkles. I hate the way I do this. I hate the way I do that. That's all self-hatred at your expense. That's shame. It's shame.
Yeah, no room for self-hatred. How can you hate what he loves? How can you reject what God himself has accepted? Are you accepted in the beloved? Ephesians 1. How could we hate who he loves? I was reminded, as Gretchen just said that, take this with you today. I am thankful. This is one of the declarations I have on my phone for each day with the Lord. I am thankful for who God has made me. I will not try to be like someone else nor criticize my own personality or my own gifts. But I will thank God that I am the way I am. It's all for His purpose and His calling. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. You're dismissed. Let's go change the world.